another inspiration from Ken Park at Fallingbrook Heights Baptist Church at the Center. We encourage you to prepare your heart, mind, and soul for a time of reflection, learning, and prayer. If you have any questions, or if you're just looking to chat, check out our website, churchatthecenter.com. And now, here's Ken.
Alyssa Esperez is a communicator and advocate and brings her passions for youth, justice, and Jesus to her role as content and public relations manager at Compassion Canada. Alyssa is a recent graduate of the University of Toronto, where she studied international development. Some of her favorite things in the world are Raptors basketball, going on airplanes, and eating way too much ice cream. Find her on Twitter and Instagram at @GodsGalForever. Today, we welcome Alyssa to lead us.
Hello, Fallingbrook Heights Church. It is such a joy to be back with you again. My name is Alyssa Esperez, for those of you who don't know me, and I'm here to wrap up the Spring of Renewal series that you've been doing, talking about things like climate change and creation care. And I have to say, when Pastor Ken first told me about this series, I was so excited because these are topics I believe that we as a church need to be paying attention to. And then I'll be honest, when he told me that I was going to be wrapping up the series and giving the final installment, I started to feel a little bit intimidated. Then I heard what the topic of this final installment is, and it is on this topic of invitation. This idea that we are invited. And I thought, okay, that I can do, because that's been my story. And I'm sure that's been many of our stories of responding to an invitation that's been presented to us, in this case, by Jesus. And so I'm so excited to unpack that a little bit more today as we wrap up this series. And so just so you get to know me a little bit more, like I said, my name is Alyssa. I work in content and public relations for Compassion Canada, and I'd be remiss not to pause here and say I know your church is a dear partner of Compassion's, and so thank you so much for your ongoing faithful partnership with Compassion, specifically as serving children in Mexico. And I studied international development when I was in university at the University of Toronto, and I love a lot of things. I'm a fan of many things. Ice cream, the Raptors, which is a little bit sad right now, Star Wars, many things. But something I get super, super excited about is when I get to talk to people about topics like justice and serving the most vulnerable, which is what we're going to get into today. And so, like I said, today the topic is, the theme is we are invited. Into what? That's what we're going to talk about. And we are headed to Acts chapter 17. And I think in this passage, we find a really beautiful and compelling picture of what we are invited to. And so you can start turning to Acts chapter 17 in your Bibles if you have one with you. And here's the context. The Apostle Paul is in Athens, and he's been causing quite a stir talking about this man named Jesus and sharing his teachings. And so because of this, because he's caused this stir, he's brought to the high council of the city, and they ask him to tell him about this teaching about this man named Jesus. They were curious about it, as very kind of intellectual people. And so Paul does so. He takes that opportunity to tell the high council of the city of Athens about Jesus. And this is what he preaches. This is Acts 17. We're going to be starting in verse 22 to 34. Let me read it for you, and then we'll unpack it together. So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I noticed that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown God. This God, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I am telling you about. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. For he has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed, and he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead. When they heard Paul speak about the resurrection of the dead, some laughed in contempt, but others said, "We want to hear more about this later." That ended Paul's discussion with them, but some joined him and became believers. Among them were Dionysus, a member of the council, a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Okay, so here's what I'd say we find in this passage. I'd say we find that Jesus invites us to three things. That's how I'm going to frame our conversation here today. And these three things are repentance, resurrection, and renewal. So let's start with repentance. Repentance can feel like this like scary, big buzzword, you know, something people like shout about in the streets. It's like, you know, fire is going to rain down on us or something if we don't repent. But here's what I've come to understand about repentance. It's just that repentance simply means to rethink, to change our perspective, to quite literally just turn around, pursue a new way of thinking. Let's go back to what Paul says in verse 30. He says, God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. It's an invitation to learn, to know better, and then to do better. I think this is so relevant in the conversations about climate change and creation care. There is really so many opportunities and invitations in this conversation to repent, to rethink, to change our perspective, to repent of our ignorance when we've ignored different, problems surrounding creation care and climate change, and to change our mindset around things like scarcity, which I feel like this lie of scarcity has led us to hoard and exploit others when scripture tells us that Jesus came so that we may have life and life to the full. The invitation to repentance is an invitation to acknowledge our brokenness and sin, how we've failed to care in creation, how we fail to care for creation in the way that we're invited to, that we're commanded to when God first created the earth. And, you know, we see now how our failure to care for creation has directly led to human suffering, has directly led to a lack of being able to love our neighbors well. We need to repent of that, repent of our collective materialism and exploitation and systemic injustices, how we've built a society that wreaks havoc on our planet and people. This is what you've been talking about in this series over the past several weeks. And at the same time, as we look at these big picture systemic issues, we can also look inward and individually and recognize that we need to repent of our own apathy and selfishness and indifference. We need to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And again, this is one of those phrases that has kind of, I feel like, been pulled out of context. And often it is said as a threat, or we feel like it's said as a threat. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. But what I would say is that that is an invitation. And Jesus offered this invitation time and time again while he was here on earth. Mark chapter 1, verse 15, Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, chapter 4, verse 17, just to name a few. This invitation to seek new perspective, the perspective of Jesus, that his kingdom is coming near to us, and in that we can have hope, in that there is good news. And so that brings me to my second point, resurrection. As people who follow Jesus, we are invited into resurrection. I believe this is the crux of the good news of Jesus. This is what we just celebrated over Easter last month. The good news that Jesus in his life, death, and resurrection has conquered death. And now we have access to that resurrection, to new life. Back to Acts chapter 17 in verse 31, Paul says, "For he, God, has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has appointed," that's Jesus, "and he proved to everyone who this is by raising him from the dead." When we say the kingdom of heaven is near, this is what we mean, that new life, resurrected life is near to us if only we would choose it through that first point, repentance. Through changing our way of thinking, we're invited to look up, see the bigger picture that Jesus is inviting us into, and we are invited to join Christ in his resurrection. And so what does this mean for us? In the specific conversation, as we talk about climate change and creation care, I believe it means we can have hope. Our earth is dying in so many ways, and we hear it almost every day, it feels like, on the news or on your Twitter feed or your Instagram feed or wherever you're scrolling. It seems like all the time there are these narratives of death and despair. And yet here's what I believe: as people who follow Jesus, we need not despair, because we have the hope of resurrection. We have the promise that we read about in Revelation 21 verses 1-5. And it's a little bit of a long passage, but I want to read this for us because this is the hope that I believe we have. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.' And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.' And he said to me, 'Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true.'" Jesus is making everything new. That is hope. That is the good news that we have as followers of Jesus. We get to look around and feel, when we feel overwhelmed, when we feel that despair creeping in, we can say no. We can say, "I have hope that Jesus has made, is making, and will make everything new again." And I believe in this, we have freedom to rest in this promise. It frees us from that lie of scarcity, from that lie of needing to hoard things for ourselves, to look out only for ourselves, to grasp for more and more and more. It frees us from the need to exploit. It frees us from the temporary materialism of this world, because we see this world in light of eternity. And I believe it frees us into the final part of this invitation, the third point I have for us today, which is renewal, or to be more specific, the work of renewal. And so let's get really honest here, because I want to be careful about how I frame that point before, because I would say that too many Christians have stopped this message, the message that I'm preaching right now. They've stopped it after that last point, and they've just said, you know, All right, we have the hope of resurrection, so we're done. And at best, that just leads to, you know, indifference, kind of. So why do we care about this world? But at worst, you know, pausing the sermon there at that last point, it leads to us using that promise of resurrection as to be kind of awful, if we're going to be really honest. If we have the promise of resurrection, some people might reason, then why care about climate change? Why care about people living in poverty? Why care about injustice? Let's just sit around with our feet up, waiting for Jesus to come back. But here's the thing. I believe the exact opposite. I believe that between repentance and resurrection, in this in-between space that we find ourselves in right now, Jesus calls us, invites us to join him in the work of renewal. He invites us to be strategic stewards. He invites us to cultivate compassion. Jesus is so clear throughout his time on earth, throughout his teachings and his life, that we have work to do, that we're called to join him, that we're called to discipleship, that we're called to do life with him. And we see this as well in the response to Paul's Acts 17 sermon in verse 32 to 34. It says, some joined him and became believers. This was a life choice. This wasn't just, you know, a follow on Twitter. It wasn't just something that you can like scroll by ever so often, but this was a choice to join in something, to become something, to become a Jesus follower. And then what does that look like? That looks like action. That looks like something that we, you know, roll up our sleeves and we get to work alongside Jesus. And there are so many ways to do this. And I would just ask you this question right now. And that's, you know, what have you been feeling called to? Maybe over the past few weeks, as you've been engaging in this series, you've felt this tug, this pull towards some sort of action that you just know you need to take. And so I would pay attention to that, because I believe that God puts things uniquely on our hearts as an invitation to join him in the work of renewal. And so perhaps it's creation care advocacy. Maybe it's just small everyday choices in your life to be a better steward of the planet and the resources that have been entrusted to you. I know currently one thing you're doing as a church is that you are raising funds for a child and maternal health program, what we call Survival at Compassion, to help moms and babies living in poverty through compassion. That's a real tangible action, a way that you can join Christ in the work of renewal, especially because it is the poor who are the most vulnerable to the climate crisis. So there's a really easy next step action you can take. Perhaps it's learning about the land you inhabit, and particularly learning from Indigenous communities who often model stewardship and care for creation so beautifully. That's something that I personally have been engaging a lot more in over the past few years and have gained so much from that. Perhaps it's something else. What I would say is we're not called to do everything. In fact, there's no way that we could do everything, but we each are called to do something. And so that's where I go back to that idea that I believe there is something that God places uniquely on each of our hearts, and we can step into that and respond. And so I want to leave you with this question. I want to create some space to think about how you'll respond to the invitation that we've been talking about today. And I will say these three things I've talked about, repentance, resurrection, and renewal, they don't happen in isolation from one another. So ultimately, this invitation is a wholehearted yes to Jesus himself. But perhaps there's one aspect of what I've talked about today that you just feel like, you know, you're feeling pulled in that direction, that you heard me say something in one of these three points and you thought that is the thing that I need to focus on today. And so I'm going to leave some time for reflection in a second, but I want to ask, like, which of these three things is it? Perhaps it's repentance. Perhaps you feel that need to repent, to rethink, to change your perspective, to turn towards Jesus, to shift your perspective and become aware that the kingdom of heaven is near, and that is good, exciting news, hopeful news. Perhaps you've never thought of repentance before, at least not in this way, and this is the perfect opportunity to say yes to that invitation. To simply open your hands and say, like they say at the end of Acts 17, I love this, we want to hear more about this later. I think that's just such a relatable phrase at the end of this chapter in the Bible. We want to hear more about this. And that's it. You're not invited to have all the answers. You don't need to be completely sure about everything and where everything fits. It's just this invitation to say, do you want to hear more? And so lean in and learn more about this person, this man named Jesus, and what he calls us into. Perhaps the invitation you need to respond to is the invitation to the hope of resurrection. Perhaps you've been feeling despair or cynicism, especially over the past 2 years, perhaps in light of conversations about climate change and creation care. I'll raise my hand and say that this is one that I need often. As someone who works in the space of poverty alleviation and missions, so often I need to be reminded of the hope that we have in Christ. To meditate on Revelation 21 and truly believe it again. Or perhaps it's the work of renewal. Perhaps you are feeling like, yeah, I need to get to work. I've got it, and I just need to get to work in this in-between space. And so I would say find organizations to get involved with, movements to join, everyday life choices in your consumption habits, stewardship of what's in your hands. Here's what I know. Yes to Jesus is the best yes that we can give in this broken world. He is making all things new. He is God with us, showing us perfect love. He lived, he died, and then he conquered all death. And that is good news. This is a Jesus that Paul preached about all those years ago in Athens, and the Jesus I preach about today, the Jesus that invites us today to say yes to him, whatever that looks like for you. And so I'd love to close in prayer. I'm going to leave a minute or two of just silent reflection for you to think about how is Jesus calling me to respond. And then I will close with a simple prayer. So take this time. This time is yours. Jesus, we repent. We know we fall short of your perfection. We see it all around us and within us. And so we confess our sins of exploitation and injustice, of selfishness, of apathy, of indifference. And we ask for your perspective. Help us to imagine new kingdom ways of being. Jesus, we thank you for your hope of resurrection. You have made all things new. You are making all things new, and you will make all things new. And we thank you for the invitation to be a part of that. May we cling to this hope in a world that too often seems full of despair. And Jesus, we ask you to give us everything we need as we join you in the work of renewal. Show us how to respond. Help us to know that we can't do everything. That's your job. We can't save the world. That's your job. But we can each do something as we join you in this work of renewal. And so, Jesus, we love you. We say yes to you. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, friends.
Alyssa, thank you for this inspiration, how our theology impacts our ecology in this final conversation in the spring of renewal. As you've had reflection about this series, respond back to us, connect with us through the website churchofthecenter.com, or look up or listen to one of our four speakers on this series. And as you go into your world, love God, love one another, and take care.
Thanks for listening to this inspiration from Ken Park. For more information, visit our website, churchatthecenter.com. God bless.